Listen as I read God's word written in 1 Timothy chapter 4, read verses 12 through 16. That's on page 1364. This is God's word. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourselves entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Puritan pastor Richard Baxter once said, "There are too many men who are ministers before they know how to be Christians." Can you imagine that? Men who are ministers before they know how to be Christians. In this portion of Paul's letter, he addresses Timothy with similar words. If Richard Baxter was alive today, he would tweet that saying, but Paul would never tweet anything, I don't think. And so he has a lot more to say to Timothy, his friend, his son in the faith, who was indeed a young man and a young minister. And he exhorts him to be a Christian first, to be an example in Christian behavior. And in saying this, we will be learning a lot about the pastoral ministry, but God speaks to us all. And I can say that because this letter that Paul wrote to Timothy was not just to Timothy, was it? Because it is descended to us today. It was read to all of the church in Ephesus and is read through all of the churches around the world throughout every age. It continues to be heard. There is an application to your minister, and there is an application to you. And that application that I would give to you today is to be an example of Christian behavior by following the example of others and by giving attention to God's word. I want to begin by giving that application that comes to the pastoral ministry. Paul says this, "Let no one despise your youth." I'm going to apply that to the pastoral ministry, but then I'm going to turn and I'm going to apply it to you. For your notes on your bulletin, for the young people who might be following along and filling in these blanks, I'm going to put it in this way. Do not despise your minister. Do not despise your minister. Now, Timothy was a young man. We think that he was probably somewhere between late 20s to early 30s. And he lived in a society that prized those who were of older and more mature experience. There are studies on the cultures of Ephesus that suggest that once you reached 40, then you were then respected as a person who has gained wisdom. And anyone before that was just a ute that could be brushed aside until they grew up and had shown that they were wise by their experience. Now, there is some sympathy that we have with that. Most people do grow in wisdom and experience over time. And there are plenty of examples of young people, both men and women, who show themselves to be foolish and outgrow that over time. No longer they do you catch them saying to their buddies, "Hey, watch this." They've learned some lessons along the way. But there is a Christian aspect to this too, because we follow God's command to honor our fathers and mothers. Then when you think of leadership and you think of the ministry, there are likely lessons that a young minister needs to learn over time. And learn so that as he gives leadership to those who are older than he is, that there is a way to do that, and a way to show respect while still showing leadership. This is an experience that was part of my pastoral ministry. I was 25 when I came to serve here in the congregation in Stillwater. I was still a very young man and a young minister. I was helped by the Lord and helped by the congregation and helped by the men and women who are older than I was that helped me along. So Paul says here, let no one despise your youth. And there could be a couple of things that's going on here. It could be that, as I've described, that in Ephesus, the disdain that might be shown to someone who is young, that may be part of what was happening here, that they just wouldn't listen to Timothy because he was young. So they just, out of hand, discounted what he had to say. But there could be something else that's happening here. It could be that Timothy himself was timid. Being a young man, he may have recognized just how that situation could play out in a congregation of people that were older than he was. Perhaps he was timid about that. Perhaps he wouldn't step up to the responsibilities that were given to him by the responsibility, by the calling to the pastoral ministry. Now, I'm going to apply that more broadly in a moment, but let me pause and make some very pointed applications that have to do with the office of pastor. Say that possibly Timothy didn't step up to responsibilities that were given to him. And this has to do with our whole concept of what a pastor is. And I say this to myself, and I say this to you as a congregation, so that you would recognize what the office of pastor is all about. Our theme for this year is Jesus Christ said, I will build my church. And I've said this before, but I'll say it again, that the Lord uses means to do that. And in this context, I would highlight that one of the special means that God uses for the building up of his church is to give pastors and elders to shepherd the people of God. He even calls them that. He calls them shepherds. And he calls them elders. He calls them those who are older, but also mature in their faith. And Timothy is one of those. He's a young man, but he is mature in his faith, and so is an elder. And what is the job that the Lord has given to pastors? To preach and teach God's word. Jesus Christ himself is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he authorizes his own ministers to be his messengers, to bring an authorized message of the King to his people. And that's what the sermon is all about. I come to you today under the authority of Jesus Christ to read and explain and apply God's word. That's a very important aspect of the promise of God to build his church. That means that pastors, ministers, deserve your attention and respect. Not because I am wise, not because I am charismatic, not because your ministers have years of wisdom and experience, not because they can rival R.C. Sproul or your favorite internet preacher. They deserve your respect and your attention because God has given them and given them the task to bring God's word to you. Pastors, ministers represent Christ to you, and they bring his word to you. And when you pay attention to the sermon, you are paying attention to Christ. So Paul's message to Timothy, as he'll say in his second letter, is preach the word in season and out. We can elaborate on that. Represent Jesus Christ. And as he says here, let no one despise your youth. To the minister, he's saying, you are authorized by the king. Do that work in the power of Christ, representing the king. Bring God's word to your people. And since this is a letter that is spread throughout all of history to all of God's people, I can say to you that this message is for you. Do not despise your minister. Rather, listen to the message that he brings rather than being caught up by the messenger. Listen to the message that your minister brings. I'm glad to say that this is something that you have done with me. I'm glad to commend you for the ways in which you listen and you hear and you apply God's word and you discuss it together. You take it home and are wanting to grow in it. It's part of your salvation, not by my hand, but by Jesus himself who ministers through his word. And it is to your advantage and to your benefit that you pay attention to it. Now let me turn and apply some general principles to you. Because Paul goes on and, in a sense, mentors Timothy in his youth and discusses with him the important ways in which he is to be a Christian first, so that the ministry of the word would then be reinforced. And that's a pertinent subject, isn't it? How should you behave as a believer? Not just the minister, how should you behave as a Christian? How should you relate to those who are older than you? How should you, by extension, relate to those who are younger than you? In fact, I would say that disrespect is not a respecter of age. In some circles, you may feel disrespected because you are young. But in our society, you can tell that there is a lot of disrespect now for those who are older. They're put out to pasture, so to speak. And there's disdain showed across the board. So how do you gain respect? Well, it isn't by demanding it, but it is by living out your faith so that all can see Christ in you. And this is where the passage does instruct all of you, men and women, old and young, minister or not. It is for all of us to grow in grace and to work towards spiritual maturity through the disciplines of grace. And so he calls you in this way, be an example in Christian behavior. The young people following this and putting it on their bulletins, be an example in Christian behavior. And it comes through in what Paul says. He says, be an example in word and in conduct. Or we might say today, in word and in deed. Let's just think about that. How are we an example in word? And this, at this point, Paul is not talking about the word of God. He's going to come to that. Right now, he's talking about our conversation. He's talking about how we use our words, what we speak about. And I think you would if you would pause and reflect on what the Bible says, that the Bible has a lot to say about the way we use our words, doesn't it? Let me just enumerate some. Think of what David says. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking lies. There are a number of parables by Solomon about how lying lips are detestable to God. Or go to James in the New Testament, where he warns that you are to tame your tongue, otherwise your words will start a wildfire. Or Paul will describe a pastor who must not be argumentative, but to tell the truth in love. And Jesus says, it really doesn't matter what goes into your mouth, in other words, what you eat, but what comes out of your mouth that defiles you. In other words, he's talking about what you speak about, how you use your words, defiling in anger or cursing or flirtations or blasphemies. In summary, you will be known as a Christian by the example you set with how you speak, how you use your words, how you talk to others, how you talk about others, how you talk about them behind their backs, how you speak to them face to face, how you show love and respect with your words, how you speak with those who are closest to you, husband, your wife, your children. Your words matter. They're part of Christian character that shows who you are in Jesus. And also in conduct or in deed, godly speech is one thing, but if you say one thing and do the opposite, you're a hypocrite. And everybody knows it. In fact, it is a common critique of Christians today, is that they preach one thing and then they live completely differently. And the world knows it and rightfully kind of shrugs their shoulders and says, what's up with that? That is just downright silly. Why would I listen to someone who says one thing and acts in another way? With your words, you can say you are a Christian, but what do you do with your life? You go home after church today. Will it be as a Christ follower that you live? Or will you descend into habits and into sins that will demonstrate something completely different? Or what does the world know about God by the way you treat your wife or your children? What part of your character comes through when you suffer grief or trial or exasperation or joy? Paul calls you to be an example in word and in deed. And he adds to that what is displayed. He talks about love, spirit, faith, and purity. It's not a complete list, but a very appropriate way that is a demonstration of the love of God that we have experienced in Jesus Christ. And I'll just give a sentence or two about all four of these. So love, set an example in true biblical love. What's the greatest commandment? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And think about 1 Corinthians 13, of all the character qualities of love that is patient, kind. You can read on in 1 Corinthians 13 about that. Set an example in spirit. Elsewhere, Paul elaborates on this, saying that we as believers fellowship together in the spirit. The Holy Spirit is upon us, and it binds us together as brothers and sisters. We come and we worship in spirit, not just bodily, but by the Spirit. We come and we offer our praise and our prayers to God. And set an example in faith. In all circumstances, Christ enables you and teaches you to hold on to the truths and the promises of God, trusting in Christ alone for your salvation, and your faith strengthens you to not be blown about by every wind of doctrine or to falter when you go through those hard circumstances of life, because you know, by faith, Christ has laid a hold of you, and he will not let you go. Set an example in purity. This is so appropriate, isn't it? In this world where sexuality is on display all around you, it's the air that you breathe, and you are tempted every time it seems like you turn around. And we see examples of young men and women and older men and women who fall because of sexual temptation. But you are a new creation. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, says Paul to the Romans, that you should obey its lust, and do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Be an example in Christian character, in word and in deed. Now, having spoken this way, you might be intimidated by this call of Christ. You might recognize that, yeah, Christ has laid hold of you for a purpose. And that purpose is to put off those old ways of living, to put off those old sins that have been part of your life. You might be intimidated or even frightened by that high calling. But let me encourage you by saying that there are two ways that this passage encourages you and builds you up so that you may live out the Christian life. And one of them I've been going over already, and that is that so that you may be an example to others, find an example that you could follow. If you are a young man or a young woman, either in age or in Christian maturity, look at those around you and approach them. Ask an older brother or sister in faith to help you to grow and develop that relationship so that you might see their example. Like Paul would say, an older brother or sister could be saying to you, follow me as I follow Christ. And in that relationship that you can be built up that way. Let me also say to you, if you are mature in faith, that as an older brother or sister, recognize that opportunity that you have with younger brothers and sisters. Draw them in so that they can learn about living as a Christian by following your example. That's the first way that you can be built up in this. The second way that Paul talks about is by giving attention to his word. Be transformed by the word of God. Here Paul speaks to Timothy once more as a minister, and then to all of us by extension. Till I come, give attention to the reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. What's he describing here? Well, he's describing the ministry of the word in the midst of the worship service. The reading of the word, that's what we do. I read from the Bible, and then I exhort from the Bible. That means I explain it, and I apply it to you. And I apply it to you not just because I think it is a cool idea, but as one representing Christ, coming and saying, these are the words of Christ to you. Hear that exhortation. And give yourself to the doctrine. What are the teachings that are contained in this passage? How are we to understand it? How are we to apply it? Paul even goes on to remind Timothy of the gift he received at his ordination. I called attention to this earlier. We don't know exactly what that gift was, but it's obvious that it's related to the ministry of the word. As Paul brings it up right here, do not neglect that gift. Rather, as ordained by God and gifted by the Holy Spirit, do that work. Preach the word. Give to the people word that the Lord has given to them. And in so doing, says Paul, if you give attention to this, if you care for your own soul, you will also care for your congregation. He says that Timothy would save both himself and those who heard him. Now, God alone saves, be sure of that. It's not based on the minister. But he does use instruments to bring salvation. And the one on display in this passage is the ministry of the word, the preaching of God's word. Now, if Timothy was to shape his exemplary behavior by the word, and if it's the job of the minister to bring the word to the congregation, what do you think your job is? What do you think this passage is calling you to do? If I am to deliver God's word to you, you are to receive it. You are to take that word of God and to prayerfully apply it so that your life would be transformed by the word of God, just as much as a minister, just as much as an older brother or sister. Or to listen and apply God's word to you. And so I call you today to give attention to the reading of God's word, to its explanation and exhortation in the sermon, to the doctrines it teaches and the way of salvation it applies. Give attention by praying, even as you come to the worship service. Pray that you would have a heart to hear and ears to hear. Come ready and eager to hear that word, prepared to meet with the Lord and hear the message. And then listen to the message and not the man. Respect the gift that God gives rather than the agent of that. Put that together with the example of godly behavior, and you will learn how God calls you and he equips you to be a light to the world around you and a testimony that you are a child of God, saved by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Lord God, we do pray that you would help us to be an example in word and in deed. We belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray that you would teach us from the examples that we have around us how to grow in grace, how we might be a people who are known by love, by the Spirit of God, by faith and by purity. May our words and our actions agree. May we learn this from one another. We spur one another on in love and in good deeds. And may your word transform our lives. For Lord, we have been bought with a price. You have called us to offer ourselves to you as a spiritual sacrifice, pleasing in your sight, and that our minds would be transformed by your word. And I pray, O God, that you would help us to pay attention to that, especially through that really beautiful and primary way that you shape us through the preaching and teaching of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Sing once more from Psalm 119 to close. In this psalm, we make a response to the preaching of God's word. In it, we say to the Lord that I will pay attention to your word. I will give thanks to you with all sincerity of heart for what you have taught me through it. And I pray that it would shape my life through the work of Jesus Christ in me. Let's sing this, Psalm 119a. Please stand to sing.